There are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
I just like the idea that I'm just a grain in this, of sand in the beach, you know, like,
yeah, right.
You know,
I can
just,
see that.
You know what? A grain of sand can change a lot. It can get in your eye and that can really hurt. So, you know,
true.
It's not, you're not utterly useless.
Grain of sand on the beach.
Yeah.
Somebody picks you up and flings you into the ocean. It's very unlikely it's going to be you, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
There's billions
of grains of sand that can be crushed.
Exactly.
Or
seven
thrown away.
And a half. Or is it like eight now?
Yeah, it's probably getting up there.
That's almost eight.
Good point. But how many will call up somebody else and say, hey, I ain't hearing my Razorbacks right now if a grain of sand didn't do what it was supposed to be doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's kind of like the whole we touched on a little bit on the last podcast. You guys both threw your papers away in the delivery business immediately and got caught immediately. I was able to ingratiate myself into the, you're doing a good job, and then threw them out for like 3 months. I got the 3 month leeway because, you know, I hid in the grain of sand. I hid as a grain in the sand, and all of a sudden I was a pebble.
I think we all do that to an extent now, maybe.
What's that, make money or become the pebble?
No, we set ourselves up for a Billy. Okay, we make ourselves useful. So that when we know, because we are IRMEs, for me, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but when I know I'm going to mess up, they'll forgive me a little bit because I've already been so useful.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Sure, sure.
For you guys, for example, I'm going to be very useful to you guys for the day that I take my vacation here at the end of this month, or
right.
when I'm like, hey, I got to do this, when I want the freedom, the leeways that I need, you guys are like, cool, heck yeah, bro. Even in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, man, that's going to be a little bit of burden on me or whatever.
You just want us to miss you.
That's true, too. But you see what I'm saying?
Who doesn't want to be missed?
I think in society, we create a sense of this is what I produce in the world. And people around us either see us as somebody that we're going to let them do it because that's the only person who'll do it.
Right.
Or we want him to do it.
That's
and
true.
I want to be the other one. You know, I want people to be like, I want him to do it.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not the best one that could absolutely do it in the world, here in this community, I could be the best.
Right. Yeah. So you want to be the guy who does it, or you want to be the guy who's not chosen? You can be like, oh, like, I didn't want to do that.
I think I want to be the guy that's chosen.
Oh, okay.
Or no, I want to be given the option to choose for myself. Does that make sense?
All right.
Well, I want you to say you're the best guy. Will you do it?
This is China, remember. I think we left that part out.
My bad.
You're told.
Right?
Yeah.
You will be a ballerina in the Olympics.
Dang
or whatever.
It.
Tyler, you're a doctor now.
Yeah, exactly.
Brain surgeon.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's like in the army, man. Like, yeah, I don't know about now. I'm sure there's a little bit more aptitude tests, but, you know, in like World War II or something, it was just get enlisted. It was like, all right, medic, grenadier, you know, like you just choose, and this guy's squeamish, and you don't care.
You just get
but
over
after
it.
The True. After the first guy, you're not squeemish anymore, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You figure it out.
Either that or you go insane.
You fall into a corner and everybody figures how useless you are, and then clean latrines.
And then maybe they're like, we'll get him grenadier.
Or you walk through minefields now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Exactly. I don't want to be a minesweeper. Oh, man.
Definitely would draw the short straw there with that job.
How is it determined what you do? I mean, that's different now. There's like aptitude tests, surely.
Right? Yeah.
Like,
okay,
you're good with computers and stuff. You
teach you about test your knowledge of electronics. You know, maybe strategy, math, language. Mm. You know, it's the ASVAT test. So
it's supposedly
a very credited source of aptitude testing.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's very common for you. Probably took one, Jay.
I did.
I'll be honest. I never took it. Of course, you wouldn't. You graduated in Canada, but it is a very common thing for guys to take while they're in high school.
Okay.
At least let them know kind of what possible profession you might have in the military.
Oh, would have been useless. Maybe I could be. I could be the dude carrying. They don't need this anymore. I could be the dude carrying the radio on the back.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then right. The guy hits me with the receiver when things are going wrong.
Absolutely, they still need somebody to be able the communications guy out in the
field.
Need a field
transmitter.
Absolutely.
On the back.
I don't know if the field transmitter is as big as it used to be.
Right, right.
But maybe it is in the jungle where there's no Wi-Fi. I don't know. Right.
Or maybe you know how the mortar teams were broken down into three guys. Like one guy carried the tripod, the other guy carried the base plate, and the other guy carried like the rounds and the tube and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I carry the base plate. That's what I do. This is a unionized job. No, okay. I called it.
Now that could be terrible.
Yeah. Point. It could be heavy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And in a pinch, they might just be like, you know what? We don't have time to take that off your back. Just lay down, and we're going to just fit this thing together.
You are now the base plate.
Yes.
Although it will be good protection, like the riot shield in Call of Duty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Ping, ping. Things. Okay, yeah.
You're running.
Yeah. Tink.
Yeah, sorry.
Are you fitted with a sidearm or anything? Anyway, you have the base plate not only as base for the mortar, but to defend yourself. Like
I would think you'd have, yeah.
Yeah, sharpened stick or something.
Yeah.
Something.
The guys, hey, in the dramatizations I've seen, they're running, they got the base plate. That's it.
Yeah.
They ain't got no sidearm. They ain't got the M1 Garand to take with them. Yeah. They're just your base plate guy because you're that useless. I don't know. I feel like I'd be that guy. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and jump into it. Of course, we are here the second episode of the Regrettable podcast, or Regrettable, or whatever you want to call it. I don't even know what we're calling it at the moment. I think just Regrettable. That works.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
But it is a podcast, so
it is,
you say, and it is the Regrettable podcast. So.
And on searching capabilities, if you search the Regrettable podcast, we are among the top grouping searches in some cases.
Right.
Some cases you type in Washita, and we're in there.
So, yeah, you found us one way if you're listening to it. If you didn't find us and you are listening to it, how'd you do that?
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
What I'd like to know. Amazing. But, yeah, we're here. It's the second episode. We already had our first going. So if you didn't listen to that one, go back. Stop right now.
Right now.
And go back and listen to that one.
Because we want to tell you more stuff about the last stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to expound upon.
Yeah, we're going to reference. You got to be there.
Otherwise, none of this is going to make any sense.
Exactly. None of us are even introduced yet. So I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts and partners here. We got the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
Yo, yo. And, of course, my brother, the preparer. The newsman.
How much prepper? Let's see what his. Oh, his
not much.
His sheet is actually fairly empty. There's what? About a quarter of a page there.
All right. Yeah. So, quarter of a page, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
Yep.
We're here. Second episode. I think we're going to take it a little more loosely. You know, things. Yeah. I feel looser. I feel better.
Yeah.
So, we're going to just continue on. Continue on. Not where we left off. Whole new list of stuff to talk about, some new stories. We got something big in the news that's literally happened in the past 2 hours. So I don't know how, like, obviously topical stuff will work with a podcast, but this is really topical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should jump into that.
This could be history.
Just jump right into it?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, again, that was Patrick Massey, Jay Lindley, Tyler Massey, Regrettable Podcast. I don't remember how I was going to intro it fully, so we'll just stick it like that.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
It was just me trying to derail you.
Right. So by the time you're listening to this, at the very earliest, it'll be Friday the 8th. Today is Wednesday the 6th. Currently 5:38 p.m. So who knows?
Central time.
Central time. So.
No, literally as we speak right now.
Yeah.
Just going off. Can I go off the headline?
Absolutely.
Nation under siege.
Under siege.
Democracy assaulted. Nation being broken into.
Yeah.
You know.
Is Steven Seagal?
No.
Is he around? No.
None of these are Steven Seagal movies.
No way. Okay.
Absolutely not.
What? Under Siege, Marked for Death.
Yeah.
No.
Under Siege 2.
Yeah.
So. Sorry. No, this would be like the fifth one, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Probably the best one. It would be the best one.
Mm-hmm.
But no, a couple hours ago, right? Before we all got together to do this, a bunch of protesters broke into the nation's capital. The circus has come to town.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There's the bearded lady. I see.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a freak show. But I'm also just kind of surprised it took this long. It honestly looks like such an amateurish fair, just from what I've seen. I've seen people paint it up. Guy wearing like a buffalo cape, kind of like with horns and stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
Come off. Yeah, very, very cool. One guy who... was dressed head to toe like in mossy oak camouflage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which, hey, great stuff, but man, it's DC, okay?
Yeah.
You're not really blending in, you know? Maybe you just really don't know how to dress for the occasion.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you that. Really, what it reminded me, my initial reaction, okay, was that there's too much cosplaying going on
nowadays.
You know, maybe I'm a little old-fashioned, but I was fine just, like, dressing up once a year for Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe when my wife asked me to.
Right,
but
exactly.
Now you've got conventions, and you got all this crap all the time to give some 14-year-old girl a chance to dress like Sailor Moon and have, like, some 30- or 40-year-old creepy guy skulking around in the shadows wearing a kilt.
Yeah, it works really well.
Yeah,
it's kind of
work enough for now. They're doing it at protests.
Right, it's kind of like the other side's version of Occupy Wall Street, where everybody's all, you know. I mean, they were all dressed like they were in a dirty band,
right? Not taking a shower.
Yeah, yeah, that was the whole thing.
Looked
for
like
a while.
A bunch of like a grunge concert.
Yeah,
you know, straight out of the 1990s.
Yeah. You got Wall Street guys walking by them. Of course, it looks deplorable. Of course, it does.
I saw a couple of guys wearing like plastic combat helmets, like kind of like those ones that remember the little packs you can get at the store.
Dollar store.
Yeah, little dollar store packs. It might come with a little plastic knife and
badge.
The badge, the walkie-talkies, a whistle.
Yeah,
I never understood whistle. The whistle in the combat pack.
Yeah.
Like down on the ground.
Yeah.
Terrible whistle. Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, yeah. I mean it was an accurate representation of the dollar store plastic whistle.
It did suck. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, he had the plastic army in case he needs to engage the National Guard.
Right, right.
Because he's
federal police.
He's ready, willing, and able to do that with his Fisher-Price combat helmet.
Yes. A lot of guys that look like just professional airsoft players.
Oh, no.
You know? It's a protest at the nation's capital. You know, maybe a suit and tie.
Yeah, little class.
Right. Yeah, look a little classy, okay?
Yeah.
I saw people on both sides on the socials saying, what are these people doing? I mean, like, staunch Republicans, staunch Democrats.
Yeah.
Like, are these people really? Really?
Mm-hmm. It kind of
I mean,
like
there's
a,
like damage happened. I mean, I heard gunshots went off in the whole nine.
Yeah.
At this point, we don't know. I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, there's a standoff at the Capitol. You know,
right.
But of course, we heard stuff up to this point. We just don't know enough
kinds
about
of stuff.
It. By Friday, everybody will know
exactly. So we'll sound like dummies, but that's all right.
Yeah. And the media's, I mean, again, just getting a little overblown with this, calling it a coup. You know, I saw one headline that was like, protesters go up and over to breach the Capitol. Like, it's not World War One, okay?
Yeah.
It's just some fools kind of running amok.
Yeah. These guys can't spell coup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Crap, I don't know if I can. You know, not to say that this hasn't got a little stupid. You know, there's been some guns. Somebody supposedly, New York Times reporting somebody got shot.
Yeah.
A couple of bombs found outside or explosive devices.
Yeah.
Confirmed
or,
explosive devices.
Yeah,
right. Good. Just Samsung phone.
Right. Yeah. But for the most part, it kind of just looks like a frat party.
It's it looks like fun.
Wild.
It looks like fun. I mean, you're in the Capitol building.
Right. Huh. You broke a couple windows.
Yeah.
You know, there were some people puking, you know. But
it's classic.
I think that was because of the pepper spray.
Okay.
Why does every frat building look like the Capitol on the front steps?
Why?
Think about it.
That's true.
It
does.
Yeah. I mean,
but
what's up with that?
What's the Greek thing?
Yeah, okay,
though?
Maybe that's it.
What is that? Because it is like Pantheon. Like, it looks like the altars,
right.
Pillars and stuff
that's
of
true.
Stone and marble. What? What's the idea there? Do you guys? You guys aren't frat. You guys never
frat. Fratted.
No.
All right. So, leave us a comment. You were leader. What this frat leader? It's Delta Kappa Napa or whatever it is. And
yeah.
You did something there.
They were gearheads.
Yeah.
All of them.
You carried a marshmallow in your butt for 10 yards and then dropped it into a cup.
Congratulations, you're in a fraternity.
Exactly. Now you have to do everything this person says for the next 2 years until they graduate.
Great. Right.
But no, I saw people like standing next to statues in the rotunda or whatever and taking selfies of themselves with.
Yeah,
of presidents, no one's ever even heard of. All
humping
right,
them.
Yeah, yeah. That's like you broke into the Capitol so you could hump a statue of Millard Fillmore.
Yeah. Exactly. Oops, I put a Hitler mustache on Ronald Reagan. I don't know if he's in there. His bust is in there. That's a rotunda, right?
Yeah, I think everybody's bust in there.
Oh, somewhere. Dick Cheney got one in there, which I thought was weird.
Chain.
The thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looked like one of the Fantastic Four dudes.
Like, fine, we'll do it. Just don't shoot me.
Okay. So, yeah, we got. So, this is almost on the same level. People are taking it as seriously as, a bunch of weeaboos storming Area 51. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was like one, right? Like, nobody showed up for that.
We reported
it. It was a smattering of, homeless people, just spectacle goers, people who were passing by.
Yeah.
Yeah. At one point, a guy, I mean, this is old news by now, but at one point, I know there's a guy doing a newscast there. What, were they protesters? I don't even know. One of the guys, like, did a Naruto run. Do you know the Naruto
yeah,
run?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you stick your arms out back and do the, yeah. So he did that on camera. I thought that was pretty funny.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, and that was the storming of Area 51.
Exactly. That was it. So, well, these guys are actually in, so they've done
more. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, there's been some violence. And like I said, when you talk about anything like this, developments are going to change so rapidly.
Yeah.
We definitely shouldn't even be talking about it. Like, by the time this airs,
by the time you're editing this Friday morning, finishing up your last edits, you'll be deleting the rest of this entire conversation because it's likely completely non-usable.
I hope not.
I won't, because if this is regrettable,
yeah, totally.
Yeah,
then it's absolutely in the spirit of the podcast.
Well, my gut feeling's been right a lot here lately, politically, is that these folks are going to go in there. They're going to make a mess a little bit. You're going to have a few arrests. A few people are going to get beat up and pepper sprayed. And the rest are just going to kind of go home, back to their normal lives.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I think for most people, by the time that the federal police go in there and start clearing the building, the first time that they see, like, some National Guard or, like, a D.C. police SWAT team come through there, they're going to throw their hands up pretty
quick.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
No, it's going to be over.
I saw a picture of, like, five of them on the ground with their hands over their heads and a dude standing over them with a rifle.
This should be no surprise. I mean, the GOP has been sowing confusion and doubt and anger over this election for so long. It was who honestly thought that the lid was just going to stay on top of this pot forever? I mean, it was going to pop out. It was going to pop off at some point.
I don't know. I think we were all in that wave. Like, I don't know, when Biden won, and I mean, after a week of it's like, no, Trump, it's not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. I felt like people were going to be like, yeah, all right, well.
And I think it'll end up like that. I think my feeling is that this is going to blow over. Like I said, there's going to be there'll be a little trouble out of it. But for the most part, the next 4 years, people are going to realize things aren't going to be much different than they were the last 20 years.
I figured at this point you'd take the Trump bandana off and then just use it to wipe up some, you know, some dog puke or something, throw it out.
Right.
And then that was the end of it, the Trump dynasty.
These folks are going to go home. They're going to go back to living their boring lives just like the rest of us. Right. And they'll just go back to bitching about how Sharia law has taken over South Dakota.
Yeah, that's fine.
They're still bitching about that?
I think so.
Some people won't let some stuff go, bro.
Hey, man, if your community elects Sharia law into motion, then that's their right.
Yeah,
America.
I would probably be upset if my community did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you should have voted.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Left.
Yeah, should have left. There you go.
Should have left.
I remember talking to somebody recently that was like, well, you think it's true? I hear in some town in Minnesota that they've voted in Sharia law. And I was like, I can't imagine that that's true. And he said he saw it on YouTube, so. Definitely not true.
Yeah.
And even if he was like, they voted in Sharia law, and it's like, it's a democracy. I mean, if you can vote in whatever, if you get the majority vote, that's how we work. Yeah,
if it was voted in, then it's not like radical Islamists just crept up on you.
Right. Yeah. They were there.
Right. You saw them at your Easy Mart.
They've been going door to door, and they did some great campaigning.
Exactly.
It's like going to martial law, you know, by vote. It's like, hey, if you have the ability to vote, then martial law is not where you need to go.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever something that's going to be voted in, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
I mean, martial law is like the last opportunity.
Yeah. It's just stamped on your forehead.
I understand all this beheading and all this about not letting women try, but what is Sharia law going to do for me?
Yeah. Is it going to change my taxes? My grandpa going to lose his Medicaid?
Going to keep my guns?
No. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I don't know. Well, okay.
Yeah. Along the same lines, though, it's funny we went there because I was thinking today there's a guy that's posted on social media about Trump, this, that, and the other. And I was like, this same dude, literally 6 years ago, four, six, 8 years ago, however long you want to go back, on social media, he was talking about how the Muslims were taken over because of Obama. But I haven't heard nothing about them for a while now.
No,
I mean, did they take over? Did we forget? Did we miss it?
We missed it.
Blinked.
Yeah, it was like, oh, they took over. Now we're doing the stuff that they wanted us. Yeah. We got it back, though.
We got it back.
Okay, cool.
They got bored.
They're like, this isn't as cool as we thought.
Americans are vapid.
Exactly.
I'm out of here.
I'm gonna be honest. The storming of the Capitol is not the most egregious thing that I've seen today. It was Josh Hawley, the U.S. Senator from Missouri, I believe. He was one of the leaders of this, trying to convince GOP senators and congressmen not to certify their state's election results.
Right, right.
So, of course, that count was also happening today on Wednesday.
Which was ultimately disrupted.
Yes, was also that it hasn't actually processed, hasn't finished or whatever. But he went up there and he was like, I'm not going to vote to certify this. I'm opposing. I'm rejecting it. And people, like dozens of Republican congressmen, started clapping for like forever. It reminded me of that scene, if you've ever seen any of those old videos of like Stalin giving speeches, and you would have like hundreds of Communist Party members clapping for as much as like 30 minutes or longer, because no one wanted to be the first one to stop clapping.
Yeah.
Because usually that person got like quickly escorted out by the secret police and was never heard from again.
In our case, you just get the Fox News camera zoom in on his face. Does he hate
America? Yeah. It was just very weird. You know, just very weird. Again, all these folks that clapping against the way the process works.
Reminds me of the whole Mitch McConnell thing. I'm seeing a lot of Mitch McConnell hate, and I just want to make a post that says, you know what, y'all? Mitch McConnell blocking Americans from getting $2,000 is like the best thing he's ever, like, it's the nicest thing he's ever done. Because he has been a worm for decades.
A turtle
worm for like a long, 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 long time. Like, I've seen him just be so just a nasty man.
He looks disgusting.
He looks disgusting. And
I don't like to be that way about people.
No.
But he just doesn't look like he takes care of himself. Like, he has somebody no interest described in his own life.
Somebody I saw online, somebody had made a meme where they compared him to Mason Verger from the Hannibal movie. Or maybe it was Red Dragon. I forget which one of the ones. The guy who cuts his own face off with a piece of glass. And then feeds it to his dogs.
Okay.
Yeah. It's rough. Yeah, I saw it. I honestly haven't seen the movie. I didn't even know what it was until I saw I had to like read what monstrous thing is this showing me and comparing Mitch McConnell to, and I was like, oh, it's some character that
I showed Patrick the one from Pan's Labyrinth. It's the it's the monster with the eyes and his jowls and everything. Yeah. It looks like Patrick was like, oh my god, that's Mitch McConnell. Again, I think we've all been pooping on this guy for so long. Nobody that I see posting memes. If you just recently posted a meme about Mitch McConnell, where were you 5 years ago?
Right.
Where were you 10 years ago? You've just heard of him.
Yeah.
I've been talking about throwing a pie in this dude's face for a decade now. So, just saying. You know, it reminds me of that. The worst thing that you saw today isn't even the thing that's in the top, you know,
I got you.
top headlines.
For him.
Yeah, it's our democracy acting so sloppily.
Right.
You mean it's under attack, man.
That's right. Under siege.
Under siege. Sorry.
Under siege 3.
Yeah.
Starring Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. As
Turtle
Steven
McConnell.
Seagal. Yeah. As Casey Ryback. Oh, man. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. You guys have any more on that? Because I did not do my research. I just read some headlines.
Like I said, I sincerely hope and believe this is probably going to blow over pretty quickly.
I imagine. Just like everything else, I've seen so many different things in the past year or 2 years where I'm like, oh, this is it. This is it, right? Have you? I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and now do another cut where he says, this is going to go completely bad. I just see it happening. Say those words.
I mean, it's going to go awfully. Yeah.
Boom. Now, either way,
we're covered.
He's covered.
Right.
He predicted it.
But Jay Lindley's a genius.
Yeah. Honestly, though, once all of their phones die, they'll pack up and go home.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait. Touché. Yeah. They can't take selfies anymore and post them. That's time to go home.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the videos of the mask protesters that go into, like, Target or whatever? And it'll be like a parade of them, and they'll go in and they're like, it's okay, man. Take off that mask, man. It's good. Breathe the air of America. And it's a bunch of crazies, man. They march through. It's like they march through a dang Kmart.
Yeah.
And just tell people, it's cool, man. Take off the mask. And they march through it in one door and out the other.
All right.
I went to get food this evening.
You did?
And there was... I and the employee were the only two people in the building. We were the only two people. We had masks. And when you walk in the door in this establishment, it says right there on the front, must wear mask to enter.
It's not enforced.
The state of Arkansas. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, who are they? Who is a entity to enforce masks in a state like this?
You could get such a bad rap around a place like this for like enforcing that.
Oh yeah. No, there were some restaurants that I may leave unnamed at this point that at first were abiding by the law because it came down from the state. And I was like, cool, that's awesome. You're doing what you're supposed to do, right? Some of them, and you can drive by their establishment and see every single one of the parking spaces is full. So, A, they're not social distancing because they're packed. B, not a single person ever had a mask on in that establishment in the entire time.
Right.
It's 2021. You haven't heard? The pandemic's over.
Yeah, okay? COVID's over.
That's right.
Yeah.
COVID's over. I forgot.
Yeah, we've turned a new page, man.
That's funny. Well, yeah, I mean, to enforce that is definitely, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to do in a small town, I think. I've seen some great videos on Reddit or whatever, public freakouts of people who are getting denied service.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they're not wearing a mask.
Because they're not wearing a mask. And these people take this as an opportunity to try and lecture the employees when the employees are like, they're to the point where they're just like, I'm just doing my job. Like, I legally can't do this, blah. And, well, no, did you know there's not actually a law? And did you know? It's not up. She just turns the button on the machine and it spits out the hot milk thing. That's all she does.
Yeah.
She's not a.
She's not reading the annotated law book of.
I've visualized this in a store as an outlet store, a group of outlet stores. So everyone, you had to wait in line to get into the store. One person went in, took their masks off within three steps. Took their mask off. They had to wait in line with a mask on to even get in line. Once they got in, they took the mask off. Why did they do that? So they can argue with the little girl that was right in front of him. And I'm like, dude, I was kind of hoping that he would get belligerent so I could go make sure he wasn't belligerent anymore.
Yeah. Right. But, did you hear, like, they can get banned together. Did you hear that little coffee house on the corner that's requiring everybody to wear masks? Let's go there and lecture them on false ideas.
Please, like, let me be there. That's all I say.
I saw the customer who was not wearing a mask, she cut line. I think it was like a UPS store. She like cut the line in front of mask customers not wearing a mask.
I saw that one.
Yeah, the employees are just like, sorry, ma'am. We you know, this is our policy. And she's like, well, this is a private residence.
Yeah.
I have the right to wear a mask or not wear one. It's totally my right in a private residence. And the guy's like, this is a business. And she's like, it's still a private residence. And like, lady, if you're going to try to lecture somebody up, maybe just a little research or just don't be
possibly.
An idiot. Yeah, it really helps to not be an idiot.
Yeah. There was that dude behind the counter was just like, he was getting so frustrated. I feel bad for these people.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I've said, I don't want to be in service right now. I'm glad I'm not in service right now because there's just too many things. It's too many things. It's too many things going on that the average person tweets about or goes on Facebook and this and that, especially with the mask thing. It just sounds awful to me.
Well,
to be in service.
Ultimately, bottom line is, depends on where you live, I guess, ultimately. If you're listening to this in California, you probably haven't left your house in a couple of days.
Right.
But wear your masks in public if it's required. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't go to the places that require it.
Right. Find the places that are cool with you coming in not wearing a mask.
If Costco makes you wear it and Walmart doesn't, go to Walmart. If Walgreens makes you wear it and, you know, I mean,
CVS,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Go to CVS, don't
exactly.
go to Walgreens.
Exactly.
I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. That's we routed back to that on the last episode. I think nobody wants a resolution or to go to the place that they can do what they want. They just want to conflict, and it's all, no matter how logical of an argument you can have on this side or that side or this and that. Nobody wants to get together. Everybody just wants to. That's the best part, is the argument, the disagreement, the unfriend.
Unfriend.
If you've ever unfriended somebody, who hasn't you unfriended them because of a political disagreement or something like that, how does that feel? Like, I bet it's like sex. I bet it's a quick rush to be like, you know what? unfriend.
Oh, oh yeah.
And then you're just now you're piety
now
and
down.
Yeah.
Dang it. Add him again so you can unfriend him one more time.
Exactly. Dang it. Yeah, one more thing.
I just eliminated the last guy out of my thought bubble here.
Yeah.
Now it's now I have nobody left to debate with.
An echo chamber all to myself.
Right. Well, I'll just share these copy and pasted posts.
Yes.
Those are the worst.
While highly optimized algorithms detect every click and every view and everything you do on your internet devices and then compile that into a list that is tailored to whatever that computer thinks you like.
Yeah,
and
you think you're beating Facebook by posting, if you cannot copy my, write my pictures on Facebook,
right.
Posting that crap doesn't work.
And you're making a post saying they're taking away your rights. They're surveilling you with the mask. It's like, do you know how ironic that is that you did that on Facebook? How many ass kickings really fall out of the sky?
Probably zero. Yeah. Like, I mean, yes, I've probably seen random acts of violence in my life.
Right.
But 0.01, you know what I mean?
Like, even if it's a dude getting robbed, like, I feel like there's some sort. I watch enough of these videos and whatnot to
you
know
give
that
them
there's
the money.
Something there.
They may pop you a little bit just to make sure you're scared. But if you give them the money, you ain't going to get a straight ass whooping.
Right. Or there might have been some previous thing. You robbed, you know, or this
Good
and
point.
That. So,
Good
like,
point.
Pretty much I watch a lot of these videos, and every single one has a backstory. Every single one has a this happened or this happened. Or maybe the guy didn't do anything. He did not deserve to get his ass, but something happened.
Right.
Something happened. And that's, I think, most of the time. Like, you just can't get your ass kicked anymore without reaching for the gun. And, you know what? From the beginning of time, from the dawn of time, unless it was just like gladiators fighting, what am I trying to look
the sport
for?
Of
the
it.
Sport of it. There you go.
Yeah.
It
blood
was
sport.
The blood sport. It was something. You know,
you
stole some bread.
Vengeance.
A vengeance of some kind. And
like, I feel like a lot of the vengeance beatings and killings that go on now, they can trace their lineage to the beginning of time. That Joe beat up Ned, so then Ned's family beat up some of Joe's family, and then it just keeps going generation after generation.
Right.
You know,
the
what were those guys in the South? Not the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, you talking about
the Moonlight Rangers
the,
or whatever?
Montagues and the Capulets.
No, that
there's that too.
Yeah, there's that too.
They had beef, man. There was Shakespearean beef, there.
Right? And the beef just goes on generation after generation. It never ends. And but you made a good point, man. We're all old enough to remember a time when you could. You could lay down a beating on somebody or take one, and you just the victim just goes home and they lick their wounds,
right.
And then they're better the next day.
You might even help them up like a gentleman.
Sure, you might go home and you know, like, man, you know what, that whooping changed my life for the better.
Wrong.
I'm gonna start working out. You
Become
know,
Bill Gates. That's what happened.
Right.
That's actually what happened.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
No.
There you go.
Well, like
Hatfields and the McCoys. That's it. Yes.
Is Laura listening? Did she like text you?
No, he was checking the encyclopedia.
I was thinking hard, bro.
Actually. Yeah, the Hatfields and the McCoys. Classic beef.
Yes.
Original beef.
They're some OG. Of the original,
That's some OG beef. That's like Tupac Biggie level. It's the Hatfields and McCoys.
I thought it was like Muhammad and his nephew or something. But
is that too?
That's funny.
So social media changing. Kind of a lot of the thing changing. Changed. A lot of the things that we, you know, used to hold on to, the whole thing that's kind of, you know. You're
and
not
still
that,
changing. Still changing. Don't worry.
Yeah, you're not important. Like, that used to be a thing. I remember, you know, the whole grain in the sand thing.
Yeah.
You could just be a grain in the sand. Now, you know, your slapdash opinions can be put just about everywhere, and you can feel good about it, and you can delete the people that don't make you feel vindicated.
Right.
To the point now where, you know, influences presidential elections and, you know, all of that good stuff. Just got word again. It's the 6th today, 6:55 Central Time. Trump locked out of his Twitter account.
Oh, no. I need to sell my Twitter stock real quick.
Oh, no. It's just, you know, I can't believe I have to say that, you know, but it is weird. And
this
and
is
a
his
big
primary
thing.
Source of communication.
That's
so
right.
Now he's locked out of it.
Yeah. I like, mean, what if Fox News was turned off? Where would he get anything from?
Right.
So, you know, I don't know, the Twitter, it's how he gets the information out to the fans and this and that. And it's always been like contentious, his
yeah.
Twitter account.
Oh,
always
yeah.
super
yeah.
contentious. He's always arguing with all kinds of people, beefing, Twitter beefing with all kinds of people.
I think he was pretty much inciting a riot on this one, though.
I read, and it was that, where was it from? I don't even remember. It might have been CNN, that these protesters had come from directly from a Trump speech. Do you know anything about that?
Mm.
They
well,
and they
gave
said
one the
he,
other day, but
they said like hours before all this, he told them to go. And I read that and I was like I don't know if I can believe it. Like
yeah,
I don't know what that's the dumb thing. It's the stupid clickbait crap. I
yeah.
don't know what to believe. You know, I read
right.
this whole article that's
right.
telling me this important stuff that I'm like a little bit concerned by or whatever. And
most of the reporting I've seen is that this all came about from Gab and Parler, which I don't know if you know these. These are a couple of relatively new social media platforms that developed in response to Facebook cracking down on what it considered extremist discussion groups or open, like it's, you know, you see Facebook in some ways is maybe overreacting in its moderation efforts and relying more on algorithms that don't know, that can't catch nuance. And there's a lot of people's posts are getting taken down on Facebook and the traditional media campaign, social media platforms. So,
but they're having to answer to congressional hearings too, though.
True.
So
you have like
for that very thing.
Yes, and you have that like Section 230.
Right.
Yes, that's looking to make make companies liable, social
right.
media companies liable for the content that's put
yeah.
on their platforms.
Right. They'll be held accountable for somebody getting inciting hate or this and that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or damaging profit margin of a business or something.
But
I, you know,
Gab and Parler came about because again they saw Facebook leaning towards being more anti-right. You know,
right.
attacking more of the conservative side of the spectrum. So Gab and Parler came out and will be free area. Will be areas of free discussion, no matter what you. And it's gotten very popular.
Well,
among,
guess what?
You
nobody's going to advertise on there. Well, some will, but not
right,
like Facebook.
Not your
That's,
mainstream.
I mean, can you blame if you ever see the head of a corporation or a business or anything like Facebook, a corporation like that, publicly leaning left, it's because most people who use and buy and all that and advertise with and all that are all left-leaning people. It's
most
only,
people in the country are left-leaning.
That's
people.
True. That's true. So you're going to want to appeal to the largest base that you can. Now, the whole idea would be to stay non-political so that you can appeal to everything, but there's moments where that's not possible.
Hmm.
Right? So Facebook goes like that, and they start up Gab and Parler and
yes.
Squib and Crub and all those places.
Yeah, don't church it up for them right here, folks, man. You
right.
know what it is. It's liberal censorship that Facebook did, and you don't even try
yeah.
to change it.
That's right. definitely the perception, you know.
It's
that's
the reality.
That's why they're at the Capitol right now.
It's the reality, but the thing is that it's not liberal propaganda. It's misinformation that they're taking away for the most part. It's that I mean that's something that I would hope smart people on both sides could be like, yeah, that's not. Let's not show, you know, whatever it is, the, you know, Hillary Clinton from 20s. That's the one I always think about, the political meme that says, you know, is Hillary Clinton the devil? In quotations, I am Satan. In her photo there, and it's like negative. It's like reversed or whatever, so it shows the negative of the photo, and
oh,
it looks
yeah,
all
yeah.
creepy
yeah.
and this and that, and it's just
nobody
showed,
looks good in negative.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
right, and you're just now the victim. If you shared that and said, "Yeah," you're now the victim of a Russian troll or just a troll in general,
sure.
or just a misinformation machine. And,
yeah,
you
you're part of the machine.
Yeah.
You are. You're right.
Even a lot of those, like, which Harry Potter character are
yeah.
you? These are like these are algorithm based. Systems that are designed to you know determine what kind of person you are and what you might be interested in, how we can tailor propaganda
even by
at
answering
you.
It
yeah
yep. yes.
even just
yeah.
by answering it doesn't
oh,
it,
no.
the answer doesn't matter, it's just the fact that you engage with this post
exactly.
now you're going to see 100 of them mm.
and not just the answers you give but when you say yes you can see my friends lists
yeah, yeah.
or you know what I mean
yeah.
they are gathering so much information
data
just,
man is
yeah.
such a valuable commodity
right
in
your,
the IT world.
Your terms of use and terms of service, you have no idea You ever read one of those? No, of course. Nobody has, you know.
I know many lawyers that have, actually.
Well, lawyers, something different.
It's what they do for a living.
It's what they do. Yeah, and I'm sure there's been a lawyer or two who's like, I just skip through the terms of service on Facebook.
Oh, no.
You know, just, yeah, agree. Okay.
Yeah, every lawyer does it when it's Facebook.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Those are the ones. iTunes, yeah. Facebook, you know.
Yeah.
You would believe some, and not that I've read it, not that I can even quote one thing, but I'm certain there's something in there that I would can't believe I'm subscribing to blindly, you know, or just electing to have these bits of my life sold off.
Right.
I was going to say, just understand basically that if you put it on the internet, that they have access to it. I don't care how private you set whatever. Somebody has access to it. Yeah.
In order to join Facebook, you need to hit accept on that.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's free at that point, or it's just.
Sure. So you could put a, you could say you're going to put a private, but there was
that don't mean nothing.
Yeah, there was a local. You were in media at that time when there was a cheating website that gave up all its male names.
Oh, Ashley Madison.
Ashley Madison. Yeah. Okay. Well, there was a couple of pretty fairly large names that were here, but I mean. But he and his wife are still, you know, together. So either it was unfounded, meaning that there was just, it was attached to him somehow.
Yeah.
Maybe he searched something, whatever.
She might not have ever even heard about it.
Oh, yeah. No.
We're getting the subtle.
I know these people personally, actually. Know that.
I was in journalism at the time, and there was a lot of pressure put on me to publish.
That's why I was.
The list.
Because, did you?
I did not, no.
But it was published online.
It was.
Yeah.
It was, certainly. And anybody who was interested
was capable of, Google
read
search,
it in a newspaper. Yeah,
they just wanted to go from the page of DUIs and other arrests to go now to the page.
I believe that was Anonymous who did that.
Was that Anonymous?
Yeah, I'm certain it was them that hacked into those accounts to publish it.
Yeah.
They like to throw their morality around every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. I did watch, I watched something that made me understand how our information is passed around just a little bit. It just that made it very simple to understand.
Yeah.
It was, in fact, that John Oliver show. He went to Russia and interviewed Edward Snowden and asked him to explain it. What happens when I send a picture, and they just put it like this, a picture of my junk, which a lot, and he did this for a reason. He did this so that most 20-year-olds or whatever could watch that video and understand what's happening with their pictures of junk that they are no doubt sending out.
Right.
So he literally
that's
just
how you
hands
date
it.
In 2020.
That's right. You just send it out and hope it works. But they went through and showed what happens when you text it, when you email it, when you send it through Twitter, when you or DM it, when you do this. And it was just crazy.
Sure, and this all we opened Pandora's box with social media and our increasing connectivity to the internet and to ourselves and to corporations and governments. You know, a lot of these algorithms and this personality detection software, it was developed for commercial purposes because companies and corporations wanted to better focus their advertising, not waste as much money putting out these wide scale blanket advertisements. They can determine what type of shaving cream you want to use or things about what you might be interested in looking at, what you might be clicking on,
and where you're at when you could be shopping for those things.
Right.
At what time?
Your data is such a high value commodity simply because they want to be able to tailor advertising for you. Because the most advertising is just ineffective.
Right.
So the more they can tailor it to you, the more cost effective it's going to be.
Right.
But then by opening up that Pandora's box, we also allowed governments and this to come in and collect this data, at least have a system that they could easily piggyback off of. They could kind of skirt Fourth Amendment laws, the right to privacy and requiring warrants to collect your data and your property and stuff like that. Now they could circumvent that by using private corporation softwares and social media to do just that, to collect
right.
your data. And
Gmail and Facebook, they're the biggest contributors of it. I'm pretty
sure.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they at least Google, I don't know about Facebook, but I know Google gets big defense contracts from the U.S. military.
I haven't heard a negative thing yet.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, we are giving all this information up very sensibly.
Mm-hmm.
not by not under any kind of duress. Matter of fact, oftentimes we give information like this up with expectation of reward.
Yeah. It's kind of willy-nilly, I feel like, but you know, at the same time, as a lot of that information isn't clearly, you know, social media companies don't clearly explain their relationship to you and how what they're actually going to do with the stuff that you do on their programs. Again, it's buried in the terms of agreement or some contract you got to click a box on that's filled with legalese and is meant to be almost unreadable.
Right.
You know, to just be indecipherable.
Yeah, your Google account, your Gmail account.
I agree with that. It's written by attorneys for the very reason that Google does not want to have to pay for you doing some stupid crap on their search engine or their engines. I understand that. Sure.
Protect themselves, but also take away. Protect. I mean, it was Ben Franklin, right? Or who was it? Who was it who's like the man who...
That's Ben Franklin.
Yeah. The man who gives up his... I'm going to butcher it. The man who gives up his freedoms and for safety or privacy deserves neither.
Right. Yeah, right. I think it was the man who would trade his freedom for security deserves neither.
Deserves neither. Ben Franklin didn't live in this time.
Yeah, right.
So, like, I feel okay. I feel okay with giving up some freedoms and liberties or whatever for some security. But, you know...
Yeah, the Al-Qaeda wasn't around.
Right.
I didn't think that meant masks keeping some people from dying from COVID-19.
For some people, that does mean. So it doesn't matter. The mask can hate on that all day, but their five Google accounts that they use to troll, you know, Craigslist and Backpage with, that doesn't matter. That doesn't bother them too much.
But to me, social media is, it should not be like a lifestyle. You know, it's almost something that... And this is naive, but like smoking, it's okay in smoking's not good in moderation. Alcohol, actually, I'm sorry.
Smoking can be okay in moderation as long as you. I mean, never mind.
It's the right smoke.
Exactly. That's where I was going with it.
Social media is a lot like alcohol. It's okay in moderation. You know, and if you're spending all this time on Facebook just freely giving your information away, I don't know about how much we should allow the government to regulate it. That's it's a commodity. It's something that can be bought and sold, and you're freely giving it away. So how can I fault anybody for
measure
it?
Whose measure of moderation?
Sure. Yeah. That's
you know what I mean? Yeah. We could all break it down.
I think a lot of people let social media really affect and influence their life way too much. I know people that spend way too much time on Facebook and have... And no doubt have some psychological effects because of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is your avatar or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is the person that you perceive, or not that you perceive, that you put out to be perceived. This is me, man. This is my profile. This is what I'm all about. If you come to my Facebook, you can find out everything you need to know about me. You know, and you guys troll through my posts and whatnot. You're going to see all the good things that I do and all this. While I know, you forget I know you. Like, that's most of the people on my Facebook. I'm like, I know you, and I know you're a dummy, just like everybody else. You're
like me. Yeah.
Sure. Everybody.
All
me.
None of us are like on there like, oh, I'm with you. Well, there are some people who are like, I'm going through a divorce. Oh, hey, I'm losing my house. My kids hate me.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's putting, everybody's filtering their lives.
Yeah.
You know, on social media.
Right. I mean, I feel... I harp on it so much that I feel bad to the point where, as of the recording of this podcast, I have not shared this podcast on my Facebook because, well, there's a bunch of reasons. But,
okay, name them.
First of all, the only people that are going to...
Because I shared it before we got here. I was like, check it out, the one we're cooking tonight, baby.
No. Right, right. Yeah. Well, it's fine. But the thing is, it's an echo chamber. I mean, and I know the people that I'm about to like name. I'm not going to name you. The people who would share and like are already listening to this right now, by the way, and I didn't share it. I did not share it. You're going to listen to it, and you're going to be the person.
And I
appreciate that. So, of course, we're reaching out to family members and friends who are looking to go to that. I think I have 100 and whatever friends. Like, most of them don't know me. I don't know them. They're going to scroll right past it. It's not going to do anything. I'd rather just share to that. And also, the second bigger reason is I harp on this stuff all the time. This feels weird to go on there and just out of the blue, haven't made a post, an actual post. I share our morning show and whatnot on it almost every day, but I haven't made a post where I typed words in I don't even know how long. So all of a sudden, I'm just coming in with this disingenuous, hey, like my thing. This, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say that. And probably by the time, I'm hoping by the time this gets uploaded, I will have done that. But at this current time, I've not. And every time I write out a post to do it and do the and put the link in to share it, I'm just like, what am I doing? This is exactly what I'm going to talk about tomorrow not doing. You know, who am I to grub and grab? You know, I don't grub. I just exist.
And now you have to worry like, oh, it was one of your friends' birthday yesterday. And you couldn't take the time to press the happy birthday button on Facebook. And now you're going to ask them to go and listen to your 2-hour podcast.
Exactly.
How selfish.
My cousin and I, my cousin Jay Lindley, who is in radio, that is a whole story in itself.
Yeah.
He is 1 month younger than me, so I am older. I had
feel
the name,
free to launch in, man.
I had the name first. He and I have had this conversation about self-promotion on Facebook because we have both been in the radio business for he's been in the radio business just about as long as I have. And he's been general manager of a small town USA radio station. He is currently play-by-play for a college, Southeastern, that plays one of Arkansas's local central or whichever it's Arkansas State. So he's doing big things in radio. But we've talked about the fact that when using social media, it's we're usually talking to our family and really close friends.
Mm-hmm.
We have tons of fans on there because we've been doing radio for so long. We have fans from all over, you know, where we've worked at. When we're doing self-promotion, we almost get very little, if any, true feedback other than
your friends and
your super close friends and family, that echo chamber you guys are talking about.
Right.
So is it truly even a judgment of, but, or can, or should we be able to feel free to use this, you know, whole platform as a self-promotion tool, or should we feel negative? Like, you know, should we feel like,
You should not feel negative. Yeah. If you're trying to do any of the things that we're trying to do and you're not trying to adamantly use social media to get back, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it at all, in fact.
Right.
We cannot. Where it's new times, new age. Look on the stupid prep sheet I put. Everything's changed. It's effect on society. You cannot make it without it.
Some things that haven't changed, though, is that generally people only let you know if you're doing a bad job.
Right.
Kind of doing something right, it's almost like you're not doing anything at all.
Right.
But if you're at least putting yourself out there and letting people criticize it freely and judge you based on whatever merits they have, and maybe they're not saying anything, well, you can kind of read in between the lines and maybe you did something right then.
It takes 2 seconds and people are way too excited to express their opinion and say, this sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
Submit.
And that's why if you...
You and then they want to be forgiven if everybody else in the world says, you know what, actually, we like this. They're like, it was early.
It's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah sure. But
you backpedal. You do whatever you can to make sure you don't lose a follower or maybe gain one. Hey, I can look humble and corrected in front of a bunch of people I don't know. Maybe some of them will add me. You know, the whole thing, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I'm disconnected, and I wish I got it because I would be... I would be doing something right now. I am. But I never would have even probably been here in this town if I had taken advantage and done the hustle and done the whole thing and put every ounce of it into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's certainly nothing wrong with moderating your social media use either. And that's why I would, as much as I harp on it sometimes, I could never suggest, I can never imagine a world now where we didn't have Facebook and Twitter, Twitch, where we didn't have these social, because I mean, again, the communities that these platforms have helped build, amazing, unlike anything we've ever seen.
Raising money for greatly needed causes.
Sure. Yeah. You look at GoFundMe, people, you know, people get stiffed and all of a sudden they got like $50,000 donated to them. I mean, the social media environment has been amazing for humanity, but just like alcohol hasn't been a terrible thing either, but it comes with a warning label.
Yeah.
And so should Facebook. And so should any of your mainstream social media. Anything, all your usage on the internet should come with a warning label, you know? And
but that's government trying to control me, ain't it?
Well, yeah, you get, it's the internet. You don't, I mean, you can't control it.
So, yeah, so you can't control my internet.
Well, that's why net neutrality doesn't work at the end of the day.
Right.
It just doesn't work. I mean, I get you, you have some really interesting points that I agree with.
Yeah,
but
totally. That
does not work. Hence, case in point, what we're trying to do right now would be a totally, I mean, we wouldn't. We just wouldn't. Wouldn't want to try and put a podcast up there. It's too expensive. It's nobody's going to pay to do it. I mean, the moment you take free out of the equation, I mean, I'll go there, porn.
Yeah.
Like, that's free now.
Yeah,
that
is true.
It's free. 100% across the board free.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden it wasn't, you know, it wouldn't be as big as it is right now. You know, it wouldn't, or anything, Facebook or any of them. The moment you put a price tag on something, nobody pays. Nobody pays. You can add all the free trials you want and all this. Nobody pays.
The moment you put a price tag on it, somebody else figures out how to give it to you cheaper or free.
Yeah, there's that too. I mean, remember back in the day, the social media almost like ask her if you had to pay for it? It was HBO. HBO, you could feel like you were a rock, you know, you were living the high life, man. I got HBO. I
get a
pay for this thing.
Everybody would kind of come hang out with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just different now. It's just different.
That was cable back. Y'all don't know this, but cable back in the day, if you didn't have HBO or Cinemax, still had the channel there. Like now, it's just a black screen. If you don't buy the channel, it don't even show up in your lineup.
It's
right?
It's a wave that you're receiving. It's just you're not getting the
But back then, you got all the channels. Cox Cable was in Oklahoma City. This is who I'm familiar with. All the channels came through, but they scrambled the channels that you didn't purchase extra, like Skinamax and HBO. And Skinamax was, we called it Cinemax, but we called it Skinamax because after hours, they had the, you know, brief nudity shows.
The
and we as
stuff.
Kids, my parents were, I mean, hardcore religious, so there was no such thing as, you know, brief nudity in my home.
Right.
Period. So I had to go to the friend's house and watch the squiggly lines of the unpurchased HBO.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing ever right now is porn. This is the biggest thing.
Yeah, Google's only the most popular website on the internet after like 20 million porn sites.
Right.
That's sad. That's so sad, actually.
Yeah. It used to be you would have to like wait till your parents were gone and find your dad's stash, you know, hidden under his mattress or something. And
I heard tale of a man who would bury his porn.
Yeah.
A man, he was a child at the time, and he would have to ride a bike a mile away to where his buried freaking porn stash was and go behind the tree and have himself some time.
We had a homeless man that lived in the bridge during the summer and in the wooded area that the oil company owned that was south of the bridge during the winter because it was warmer, it was down lower, he could build a little fort or whatever.
I'm sorry, I almost thought you were gonna, we had a homeless man, bought him from a breeder. He was a great pet. Loved him, hated when he died.
Was he a homeless mill?
No, I grew up on the south side, baby.
Did you hobo mill. Did you rescue him?
Yeah, rescued a homeless man.
I went and got me a free homeless guy.
I broke out a window from it was, you know, too hot that day. Sorry. But you got me. But anyway, in the field, there homeless people would live there in the winter because they could build a shelter in the woods.
Okay, yeah.
Area.
And not get chased out.
And not get chased out. And we would go up there and, you know, check out all their stashes of porn mags that were, you know, in their bunkers as kids, we go up there in the day. I guess they were panhandling.
This dude had to go out. Go to the homeless shanty town.
Yeah, wait till they're gone.
Wait till they're gone and rummage through their dirty items to find their dirty porn.
Stuck together.
You ever rummage through a homeless man's stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, it's
lucky
it's,
if you don't get hepatitis C. Yeah.
You just got to undo the bindle.
Forget COVID.
Yeah, forget that. So that's what you had to go through. Now any 10-year-old with a device can just pop in .com and then you're there.
I feel like that's rendering our society.
It's bad.
Porn is a hugely negative impact on just how easily available it is. I mean, again, any kid can look it up, what it's doing to a lot of men.
It can replace experiences, you know? Not that any given person is having these, unnatural and unrealistic experiences like they do in that industry.
Right.
But, you know, this is like slightly older guys. We can remember experiences and use those, right? I'm dancing around the subject here. You don't have to do that anymore. And that's just like a dangerous thing. Now you can just... And guess what? We're just using porn as an example. It's anything. It's information. It's things you have to remember. Let's say it's you're trying to study for a thing. You got this right here, or you can't remember the name of that guy or the movie or whatever. You got it right here. You don't have to physically think and solve it. I'm just using porn as an example for something that's just so easily obtainable through this black rectangle here.
Information, man. That's my porn, I guess you could say. Yeah. Because being able to find that thing, whatever we're talking about right now, being able to get that.
I hate to bring it to this, but Patrick and I, around the campfire, whatever, a week ago, we were going over some deeper aspects of Lord of the Rings and just Tolkien's lore, right? Now, 30 years ago, if you wanted to go, well, not even 30, man, that's how long it's, that's how old.
15 years ago.
Yeah, 15 years. Yeah.
How old are you?
Oh, hell no. No, I'm saying before internet, before the bricks. Yeah. So 25 years ago. If you were sitting around the fire discussing some of Tolkien's deep lore and there was what was his name? You had to bust out the Silmarillion.
Yeah.
And find it. And quote it and be like, here, 3 weeks later,
yeah.
I was right, or you were wrong, or whatever it was. Now, we're looking up the deep aspects of the one of the most expansive lores fictional history instantly. Just as an example, that's amazing.
Gaslighting in the 90s was so easy. Oh, yeah, that's what you're talking about with all the lore, you know what I mean? Just saying, well, this is what it was.
This is what it was.
And everybody believing you because you're so... You're so confident in what you say.
You just have to accept
it. You could lie and nobody would call you out. You know, they're like, what's the fourth largest country on the planet?
Even on the show, we're like, I don't think that's what it is. You know, sometimes.
But I'll still state things unequivocally, like not be sure of them, but I'm not Googling them. Yeah. The burden is on you to Google them.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely. You get to do that. Like, you know, so you can still sometimes come off. That's all sales right there. That's sales. You got to sell something you don't believe in.
You got to have confidence in it.
Yeah.
And the internet has also made it like people don't know how to ask questions anymore. I've seen it with a friend who he like wants to figure out, like we're talking about something and he like does want to go ahead and spot check it, fact check it right there.
Right.
And he goes and he can't form the words in his head. To actually, because again, he's not typing it in. He's asking the phone. He's pressing the Google voice recognition button and just like throwing words at it.
Thing. It's keywords, man. Come on. You got to use keywords.
And I'm prone to it, too. Sometimes I I try to figure out something on Google. I'm not asking it a question. I'm just putting in some keywords, hoping that, again, the SEO can figure out what I'm trying to figure out here.
But that's the thing. I've definitely seen people ask questions on Google, and it's like it's the worst thing. Yeah, it's naive. All that what is, why that, you can cut that right out. Did you know?
What's more ridiculous than somebody asking a question on Facebook?
That's just disingenuous. So the question on Facebook that you pose, all you're wanting to do is wait for somebody who's going to be wrong, and you're going to point them out on it. You know, I've seen a lot of like baby questions. You know,
like what do I do
with this? Do you see this thing on my baby? Yeah. What do I do with it? Or what do I do when they've done this? And then somebody's like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whatever kind of answer. And it's just like, well, no, I've already tried that. Or it doesn't work. Or this and that. So the whole thing is disingenuous. It's you have a motive and that's
Consult a book. Go back to the service industry or particularly at a dealership. Have somebody, they have a problem with their vehicle. They don't know what's wrong with it. They call you to set the appointment because they expect you have the personnel there to figure it out. You do, and then they want to question it the whole time.
Right.
It's like, well, what did you even bring it here for if you knew already?
Let me know. I'm just going to collect your diagnosis fee and get you out of here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did that happen to you? No. Jay's flashing me a look like...
No.
Did they do something bad to you?
Yeah. Show me on your wallet where they touched you.
Mustang, yeah, right? My Mustang is the only vehicle at this point in my life that I care about what happens once I send it off to the service guy. Does that make sense?
Sure. No, it could be my crapped out wagon, dude. I don't want, you know.
Well, I mean, other cars. This car I turned when I'm walking away from it. When I hit the button to lock it, I look back.
Right.
Some cars, it's like, you don't care. You just keep walking. You don't care about that car anymore. You got out of it. It got you from point A to point B. That's it. You don't care.
Right. I'll just say, if it was
that car.
If it was a car that you took to the dealership and I worked there and I was perhaps a lesser man and you had dropped it off, I'd maybe burn some tires on it, at least through the parking lot, if not around town real quick. Oh, you said something about a rattle it makes at 85, so I'll take it out and see how she does.
You've done that in a police vehicle, haven't you?
Yes.
Didn't you do that?
At one point, I was brought it was a F-150 truck that was owned by a sheriff's department, and they dropped it off, and they said about 1:30, about 1:35, it'll just shut itself off. And I was like, well, I mean, it's got it. It has a governor, right? It's not the truck's not designed to go that fast. And they're like, oh yeah, well, we have that all removed when we do the police package on it. And I was like, okay. And I was like, that's gonna be very hard to test. And they're like, yeah, no, you'll have to drive it
135
to figure out to get it to mess up. And I was like, I'll do it.
Guess I gotta recreate it.
Yeah.
Can I get a police escort?
Customer is always right. And I was like, you guys will back me up though. Right? And it was a sheriff's office from a different county than the one that the dealership was located in. So
that's funny.
Zero jurisdiction they had there. But I was like, I'll take it as an opportunity to drive faster than I ever have in my life.
Yeah, and I've never gone that fast.
Took it out and sucker did not mess up at all. And did it several times, you know, but yeah, that's that story.
Fastest line speed ever? Go?
I don't know. Maybe 110. No. 100. Maybe.
Really?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. No interest.
Maybe a little, over 100. Yeah.
No interest.
I was not driving at that point.
No adrenaline junkie here.
No. No.
Totally.
I don't.
Mine was 135 in a police vehicle. I did not steal. I was asked to drive it that fast by the authorities themselves.
Yeah. The
few positions, could you ever do anything like that? Whoever gets...
Yeah, exactly.
You, listener, are you not a police officer and have driven a police vehicle? I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, you are of that, man. That's a story few can tell.
One of the best is I rolled up to the donut store one morning. Like, I was on my way to work. I was getting there real early, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop and get some donuts, bring them up to the dealership for everybody. And I had driven, you know, again, it was a little common practice is maybe a customer would say, well, this only happens after you 100%. Drive it for a while. Would you drive it like it's yours? And
drive
I did that very.
And all that.
There were weeks of time where I never drove my own vehicle because I got to drive a customer's. Right. And in this case, it was the sheriff's department's truck. And
every day. Who's in Patrick's driveway?
Yes. Yeah. There was a lot of questions. Like, I keep seeing a police officer parked. Ah, that's me.
That's funny.
But I stopped up at the local donut palace, and there was quite a few people there who knew me. I had a buddy who he was on his way to work, and he was like, "What the heck? Are you a police officer now?" I was like, "Nah, just testing out the truck for him."
Fastest land speed for me is like 95. I bet maybe 90 or 95.
It keeps going down. It started like 110.
No, I was not driving.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I meant
fastest
land speed of me going.
Yeah,
like a 90. 95, so, maybe to pass something.
But we told that story is be worried about your car at the dealership. Because, again, you might have the wrong person just decide to hop in there. Because this happened before. I've worked, when I first started there at this particular dealership, there was a big drama, a big to-do about a couple of folks at the dealership in the service department driving a customer's brand new Challenger, like a Hemi Challenger.
Ooh.
And we're driving it like, you know, burning tires around town.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, speeding through town.
See, I think I'd be upset if somebody was burning the Stang. You know what I mean? But then again, I don't drop it off and leave it. You know what I mean? I stay with it.
Sure.
And if it drove past me, I would know.
Yeah.
Right.
We're just warming up the new oil for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no.
I'll do that. Yeah, I've never had a car like, no, like I'll warm up the new oil.
Oh, yeah,
as a customer. I don't know. I'm not a car guy, not at all. So like cars don't interest me. I'm like the most practical. I'm like, dang, that thing is efficient.
Yeah, look at the fuel mileage on that puppy.
Yeah, whoa. You get what to the gallon? Yeah. Dang.
Safety ratings, 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
You live life like that. But yet you still have a sense of style, so you picked a stylish car. I mean, it may be a good car.
I did not pick a car. They said this is the car I can do for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't have any options?
I think it was an Impala or that.
Well, I mean, you picked the right choice.
Yeah, I
mean,
picked the definite right choice.
Yeah. One of the most unique faces you'll ever see in a human being is when they're walking out of a dealership after purchasing a car that they know they can't afford.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I remember one guy, I wouldn't call it, he's an acquaintance. He went up there and bought a vehicle, and he'd had some credit issues. He would have been lucky if he had no credit. Yeah. That would have been better. But he came up there and he really wanted this like couple year old truck that was all jacked up, had big tires on it, fender flares.
Worse.
It was, had all the big truck stuff on it.
Right.
And he goes up there and no credit, but hey, no worries. We'll finance you something anyways.
And repo it. Go ahead.
Right.
No credit, no problem.
So the guy, he's a pipeline worker, so occasionally he's got a big fat wad of cash on him.
Yeah.
And he comes up there, drops, I remember this because all the numbers matched up. He put $8,000 down, and it was an 8-month term at $800 a month with an 18% interest rate.
Holy crap.
But he got that truck. He got Ocho'd out. But I remember seeing him leave, and this like this face, like it was like it first it would smile, and then it would switch to like pure like contort, like it was just contorted into it like a grimace, and then it would go back to a smile, and then back to like, oh my god, what have I done?
Yeah,
and it just kind of until he drove away, like he couldn't, his face just could not rest on a particular
He's
emotion.
Still making that face now.
Yes. Yeah.
Still paying
on it.
But to imagine being locked into something like that. Oh my goodness.
No, I love my ride. It's efficient. It's nice looking. I like the color on it. It's very nice on the inside, you know, leather and all that. So I was stoked when I got it. Dude, it's my first car that didn't have, you know, rust and everything
already
else
on it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, I mean, I'm stoked about it. I love it. I really do.
Yeah.
First car that had all, or vehicle that had all the spark plugs it was supposed to
have.
That's
right. That's right. Straight from the factory. I'm stoked about it, but this is what you can get and this and that. And
even when
that.
You, but, I remember. When, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I am proud to say, you know, it's all on my name. So
there you
know,
go.
And I get
your own signature.
I did not. That's
Ma.
A new thing.
Ma.
That's a new thing that you will get your thumbprint done. When you buy a new car, and they're like, oh, this is just to, you know, make sure that nobody's going to come and buy a car under your name. Like, I'll take those chances. I'm not giving the dealership my damn thumbprint.
Yeah. Because, and you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. I read the other day that the whole everyone has their own unique fingerprint. Every single person on the planet's got a unique fingerprint. Total lie. Total bupkis. It was just some guy in the 1700s said that. Like, he looked at a few people's hands and he was like, everybody's got different ones.
It's the same dude who said it about a snowflake.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The really? Amount?
That same guy?
No, I don't know. The but amount of people who have been miss...
yes.
Yeah, like whatever.
I think it was the guy, the 2007 train bombings in Madrid in Spain. It was like they took the fingerprints of like bomb fragments and tied it to some guy in Portland, Oregon. And they arrested him. They're like, well, yep, it was your fingerprints. You had to have been the one who did it. And then finally they realized, oh, there's no way that this guy in Portland could have gone to Spain to bomb a train over there. And,
right.
And other cases, too, I'm sure. Where, yeah. Yeah.
And when did you say that the dude said that? I know you were kind of making it up a little bit, who was like, oh, it was probably some guy in the wind. 1700s, 1800s?
Yeah,
he was like, yeah, they didn't have 8 billion people.
Maybe
among the small amount, because, I mean, what was the population before 1900?
Oh,
1 billion or not even?
Probably, I mean, probably at least a billion.
At least a billion. What about Google. 1700? What about 18? You know, not anywhere near where it's at
Most
now.
Of the world's population increase, yeah, it's happened in the last 120, 150 years.
Yeah, and technology and everything else, man, is... We live in the age. We can always talk about, oh, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Any three of us could go back in time, no problem, anywhere. But for a large portion of America, you couldn't say that.
Well, yeah, with a small amount of implanted knowledge, I think we could, and by that I mean period knowledge, like knowing how to speak. Because going back saying, "What's up, homie?" to some knights at, you know, what I mean, I'm just saying, they'll be like, dude, this guy's, he's. Right. Us off him now.
Well, yeah. Imagine going back in time and being like, well, I'm from the 21st. I'm from 2021. Let me tell you how things are in my time. And you tell them about cars and phones and food or whatever you tell them about. And they're like, well, yeah, okay, well, how does that stuff work? And you're like, magic. Yeah. It's magic. Okay.
Imagine explaining a combustion engine or a transmission.
The average person could not. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You couldn't recreate it. You couldn't. You go back to dark ages. You're like, oh yeah. Well, we have guns in our time. We don't fight with swords or spears anymore. We have these awesome guns that'll kill you from a mile away.
And how does that work?
Yeah. Can you make one? Like, no. But right. They're. But I can tell you, they're great.
Man, they were exactly. Awesome.
They were awesome.
Kablowy, exactly. Big. Kablow. They were big noise flash thing. It was awesome.
Right. Yeah. Do you guys like memes?
Look at this.
The reason I said any three of us could go back is because we're white dudes. You know, like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Ask anybody else, or let's just ask a, you know, just say a man of a different persuasion.
Yeah.
How far are you going back? He's like 5 years ago, man.
Yeah.
Taco Bell right. Had this thing. That's as far as I'm going back.
Right.
Because any farther, I'm no longer.
I'm glad you clarified that, because I was wondering, like, do you have a time machine?
Jay looking at me while he's
rubbing
his hands.
Sanitizing.
Straight up.
Like an evil sanitizer should.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely look like a villain right there.
You have a villain-esque quality.
Okay. I like how you say that. You just led into a question I wanted to ask you.
All right.
If that's okay. Yeah,
ask.
Do you think I'm a bad man?
Yes. No.
Am I a bad boy?
We're going to our evil self, not our most evil self, like the really bad devil guy of us.
Sure.
But the partially evil self. You know, the evil self is kind of wants to get away with being evil.
Where, like, I could break up a fight, but I'd rather watch it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Jobs your not so evil self always wanted to do. Mine, HR, firing people.
Okay.
I've always wanted to be that guy for like Johnson & Johnson or whatever that came in and like said, sorry, your federal grant has not been renewed. You're right. Out.
And I'm sorry, man. This is above my pay grade, but you secretly take a lot of enjoyment in
exactly.
It.
Okay. Yeah, you know every bit about it.
Yeah.
You know exactly why they're getting fired.
Like, it's not my decision, but...
Yeah, it was my decision.
It was
I came in, I observed you for 6 weeks. I'm firing you.
Right.
You know, we hate to do this. You've been such an integral asset of our company, such a team player, but we really don't have a place for you anymore. Ah, psych, I hate you. Get out of here.
I've never fired a person where it wasn't like a mutual thing.
Never?
No.
Really?
No, it was always a thing. It was always something happened, and
in between,
it was, and
yeah.
Everybody was like, I mean, for the most part, not even have to fire, really. Just like, okay, yeah, you're cut off forever. So
your most recent fire was exactly that way.
Right.
You were like, he was like, no, you were like, but you can't. And you're like, he was like, but I got it. And you're like, well, then I can't. And you're like, okay.
He's like, I expected that.
And I know I moved 16 hours away, but and I can't do my job duties anymore, but can I still have my job?
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely not. The last one, he went to jail before that. So that was an easy one.
Yeah.
He came back 14 days later and was like, come on, bro.
Do you ask for your job back?
He did, yeah.
Was he a good employee prior to losing the job, though?
Not at all.
If it was you guys, either one of you guys, in the job you hold today, 9-to-5 job you hold today, and you were like 14 days later, you're like, bro, and I knew some way in between there that you had, and so I was filling in for you because I knew you were in jail.
Oh, yeah, that's a different.
I'd be like, dude, tell the story on yourself. It was you.
Right.
And I'd be like, you just listen to the story of about yourself. If it was you.
Yeah.
And then go on about your business.
Punishment enough.
Yeah. It'll blow over.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if I'd be able to face that music. Like, I would probably just move, you know,
that's
really,
you know, especially in a small town, like we're in one faux pas and you're done.
Yeah. You're done.
You might be done.
See, I've got like four faux pas under me, bro.
Well, you're more resilient.
I,
Well, they're not like crimes, right?
True.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. Good crimes. Point. But like, I mean, you know.
Get you a DWI in this town?
Oh,
you know,
well, I don't
embezzle
know.
Money from a city organization.
What if you sock out a cousin's? Never mind.
You
know what I mean?
Well, what if you're caught on Ashley Madison or caught trolling some list of something or other, or you get caught in some not illegal but just distasteful activity? You know, gotta go.
Here, you think you're still here, still that way today?
Me personally, I don't think the area is like that. I think I'm like that. I'm a no shame kind of guy for sure. But the moment that like I've been had, I don't want to be had or seen.
See,
you know,
and some people may choose. He's faking humility, blah blah blah. But I'm like, I'll move on. Either I'm doing what I'm doing, and everybody knows that I was doing that. Or I'm doing something else because I got forced out, you know. But I'm a totally go with the flow kind of guy.
Right. That would be a huge boost or a huge good thing for my personality. It should not be an instant. Just okay, I got to move away. You know, that's not a good way to think. It keep on chugling. Yeah, of course I could make it there. Yeah, what the moment I get to that point, I will have felt like I've advanced as a human to not give a rat's toss. You're just continuing on.
I see Patrick that way a lot, though, in a not giving a rat's behind about what people think about him kind of way. Is that, I mean, am I wrong?
He might have to get that kind of thing. No,
journalistic leather skin he has to have.
I've seen him, and it was kind of like a learning experience when I first saw him interact with somebody that he will be reporting on, and it's just kind of a different thing. You take the time with me or your friends or your family to let things go, you know, just give a leniency. The moment that he's interacting with somebody who's acting just a little bit out of, you'll check him. And beyond, that's a professional thing. That's something you obviously grew. I'm sure when you first started, you kowtowed. And you,
right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Wasn't as good at that, yeah.
Right,
I
but
agree.
I'm sure.
At this point, nothing's really new. I've been done that, so.
You've dealt with people, like, because again, we're talking about, he's a news director, you know, like, he reports locally.
And some little stuff, but some big stuff, too.
Yeah, sure, but if you're getting reported on, you want it to be in the best light, or if it's not, or it's not how you want, or it's about you, and you, and you, and you, and you can just see that, you know, where you're like, hey, this isn't about you, this is about the news, I'm sorry.
Right.
True.
You know? Well, and I try to have some perspective and nuance about my place in the universe. And sometimes that's one of my pet peeves is the lack of that. And maybe you could almost describe it as the big fish in a very small pond mentality. And I saw a lot of dealership people who acted like they were billionaires. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, yeah, sure, you make good money for DeQueen, but you wouldn't whatever you're making would be chips compared to somebody in a bigger place.
The same guy. In a bigger place.
Yeah.
The same you in a bigger place. Yeah,
exactly. And again, I have to remember, the vast majority of us, 99.9% of all of us, like 200 years ago, we were like peasants.
Yeah.
You know, we were nobody. We come from nobody. You know, if you come from something, well, you're something right now. And you're probably not a very visible part of society. You're not like on Facebook all the time.
Right,
and
yeah.
Walking around town, you know, judging and getting judged.
And you don't think that way. I think Jay, you said this on the show like last week. Patrick commented on it later. Like the fact that you can even tweet a problem that you're having or whatever is like your life is good. If you get to go on Facebook and just complain or this and that, You're having a pretty good life compared to not only people in our present day across the world, or not even across the world, three houses down who are really struggling.
Yeah.
200 years ago, you know, 200 years ago, there was no fair. Yeah. Fair? What's fair? My children died this morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to try again tomorrow. Okay?
Yeah.
That's not fair. You know?
Yeah, you mean the local fair where we trade our chickens in for the, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. My son died of the rickets 3 days ago.
Yeah.
What's not fair?
I'm trying to figure out how long you can go without eating. So
right.
Can you keep that in mind?
Experiment in progress still, exactly. Okay?
Yeah, 3 days later.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, you get to just shove ding-dongs in your face and sit there on your phone, your life is fine. Trust. Trust.
My latte is getting cold.
Oh,
but
man.
The check was late.
But the check was late.
Your free check you got from the government was
yeah,
late.
Yeah, that was late. Yeah. Oh, came you get to complain about the amount of money that you're getting?
Of your stimulus?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, yeah. I jokingly complain about a $600 versus $2,000 stimulus. I don't care.
Yeah.
I will pay it back. Well, my family, my household.
Somebody will pay it back.
We'll pay it back. Yeah.
It's free money to me either way. So, am I bummed I didn't get $2,000? Sure. Am I about to be changing my whole lifestyle and political perspective and everything else because of it? No. I mean,
are you even going to make a Facebook post about it?
I will not even, in fact, make a Facebook post about it.
Two decades ago, you couldn't.
Yeah.
And you still just dealt with it.
Two decades ago, you ain't getting no money.
Yeah.
No government. This is some, this helps, I guess, stimulate the economy. Well, what you were given is what they think you should stimulate the economy with.
Hey, you want to talk about stimulating the economy coming up? I mean, we're in January now. Taxes will be coming in. Are taxes going to look the exact same as they have in the past years with this all the stimulus stuff happening?
It's not taxable.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tax-free donation.
So here's my question. I still okay. Before my household was making certain tax brackets, okay, I was a low income family because I had a lot of children. You know what I mean? So I was a situation where I needed help, government help. But I got a lot, and I mean a lot of federal money every tax season.
No, yeah, you were that perfect. Making just low enough and had enough mouths to feed to
exactly
get you $6,000.
I paid in child credits. Yeah. I paid in maybe $750 a year in taxes because I made just below the threshold to actually even pay much.
Yeah,
but that put me in poverty with so many mouths to feed. I got like you said $6,000 at the end of the year. So, but every penny of that went into the economy.
Right.
Because I was not a saver back then.
Right. And your burden on the American people having to pay for that isn't even comparable to what rich people, what you're paying as a middle class. Because as a middle class, you're getting taxed the most.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And you could look at a poor person and be like, well, they're getting $6,000 back.
Exactly. That's
you're
six
paying
grand.
Way more for the guy who's getting... You know what? Maybe he didn't even have to file the shit. Mm. that is a bigger burden on you.
Now I'm to that other side. So now we're looking at all the tax credits and all the ways we can get out of paying taxes. You know what I'm saying? The Trump tax code is what I'm looking at.
It's only write-offs available. And, like,
write-offs and a whole... It's legal.
Right. It is only to the people that already have a leg up, right?
Exactly.
Like you can't apply the Trump. If you have popcorn ceiling shit like this,
that's technically that's textured ceiling. That's not popcorn ceiling. Technically, if we want to go technical, but I know what you're saying. If you have popcorn ceilings,
you ain't getting no tax write off. You ain't or like applying the Trump method. You know your Biden's tax plan ain't gonna affect you.
Yeah,
but. The rhetoric is the opposite, right?
Right. Well, there's this idea that everyone in America might be rich tomorrow.
Right.
So you don't want taxes in effect right now that could affect you tomorrow.
Right.
It's, again, this kind of lottery winning mentality. Any one of us could win the lottery tomorrow.
That's the American dream.
Yeah. That's the big estate. That's the estate tax argument, right? You know, I'm going to be rich one day. I do not want my... If you can't pile your... shit into a pile and that's what you call your estate and it's worth over $4 million, the estate tax isn't going to do nothing for you. It's going to help you, in fact. So
just like inheritance taxes, everybody's like, oh, That's ridiculous. Why would you attack somebody on their inheritance? Since again, we're talking about people who are making millions, yeah, tens, hundreds of
it's
millions
only after
of dollars.
The 4 million, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Four
yeah,
or 5 million.
It's a pretty high bar.
Taxed.
Then it's taxed after 4 million?
Yeah. So
when my grandparents died or when my parents died or whatever, and I inherited land of a certain amount, a 100 acres or so, I didn't have to pay. Matter of fact, I still pay the taxes that my grandparents paid mm-hmm. on the land that my brother and I own now still.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, apart from like your property tax, your regular stuff like that. If you can't accumulate all of your stuff into one pile and say it's worth more than $4 million or whatever that number is, it's not going to affect you at all.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But everybody thought
it will.
Oh, my $10,000 yeah. claim in this half acre that I have on the city lot would be affected by this
yeah.
if my grandma died.
I remember Megyn Kelly saying that. She's like, oh, my estate is not worth $4 million on Fox News. It's not worth more $4 million, but when it is, I don't want it to be taxed for
when
my children.
Is, that's funny.
And if anything, she could accumulate that amount of money. But
for the most of us, we'll never leave yeah. the social status that we were born into.
There's a class yeah. system in place here, and it doesn't work. It's just in place, and you're not going to be able to do anything about it.
Yeah, read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, if you don't understand. Straight up.
It's hard to look inward and really confront yourself. Everyone has to have a part of themselves that they don't like, and whether you wallow in guilt or shame or do nothing but try and correct your mistakes, forget them, move on, however you deal with it, it's important to take a look at yourself and figure out why you are the way you are. I can trace back and think of almost every mistake along the way and be so focused on them that anything I ended up doing up right is just lost to me. One regrettable decision after another, and somehow I've ended up talking into a microphone for a living. I just want to talk about my absolute fumbles so you can forget about yours, maybe even feel a little bit better about yourself. I'm not going to do that, but anyone who has listened to me for the past few months knows I'm flawed and I like saying it. It feels good. It makes me feel like I have room to grow. I hate it when someone thinks of themselves of a completed work. It's not a bad thing to look at yourself and just say that you can do better. It's not good enough. Why try if you think you're not at maximum potential? The difference between growing with that mind state versus wallowing in it depends entirely on if you can embrace yourself. That's the bit I have trouble with. Over the course of this podcast, I want to enlighten you further and hopefully reveal things about myself that I wish I hadn't, so I'll have no other option than to confront them. But for now, we are all finding our legs here. Look at that. I wanted to end this podcast talking about people's behavior, but I ended up talking about me. Let's be honest, if you had a podcast, you would do the same thing. What's the point of conversation if the other person is going to speak? I wanted to launch into some speech about what annoys me, but this is what came out instead. I don't know, whatever. Just be nice. Just buy the thing you want and don't hassle the poor service workers. They get your order wrong. Just eat the mush. Stop thinking that you are owed anything. Stop honking your horn at people. I don't know if it's like a new thing, but more and more videos of like dads getting beaten to pulp at stoplights after honking at someone who knows Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Just stop. Live your life. Be quiet. Humble. Don't roll coal on me. Don't critique my greetings. Don't shoot somebody that just wants to kick your ass. Don't agree with everything your stupid friend says. Don't spit on someone trying to be safe. Don't park like a jerk. Stop deleting people off Facebook and feeling vindicated. Stop taking flaming shots. Don't pass off copy-pasted paragraphs as your life lesson. Stop wearing t-shirts with more than 3 words of text on them. And for the love of Beyonce and Tom Hanks, stop talking about people as if you know them. Only I can do that. Do listen to the next episode. Do visit thewashitapodcast.com. Do check out KDQN 92.1. All music and production credits myself. For Jay Lindley and Patrick Massey, I'm Tyler Massey. God bless America.